This is Tuesday, March 4th, 2014. Roe talks to the king of late night with Steed, Diablo 2.0 is live, and somehow Roe and all of his clones are sick. So I'm filling in. This is Realm Maintenance number 84.
When the servers go down, we'll tell you what's up. You're listening to Realm Maintenance.
Ladies and gentlemen, auctioneers and bargain hunters, podcasters and podcastees, welcome to Realm Maintenance. I'm Remedies, filling in for Ro, and thanks as always for listening. Ro's been under the weather the past few days, but he did manage to do the podcast of the week interview, which you'll hear shortly. Looking ahead, I'm really excited about the release of Reaper of Souls, and we'll be celebrating the expansion on March 25th with an extended episode of Realm Maintenance. That means extra interviews, a sweet giveaway, and more. We're happy to announce that one of our interviews will be with Archon the Wizard, a popular Diablo 3 streamer and co-host of TwizCast. We'll announce other interviews in the coming weeks. With Ro out of commission this week, let's get straight to the news as we go around the world of Warcraft and more in 80 seconds. The first in a series of Dev Watercooler blog articles for Warlords of Draenor was posted on the official World of Warcraft site last week. The blog gave an overview of the team's plans for sweeping adjustments in the expansion, which include reducing stat scaling, changing a variety of racial abilities, and pruning the number of abilities for each class. During last week's maintenance, Diablo 3 was updated to version 2.0, which includes all of the system's changes that are featured in Reaper of Souls, including the new Loot 2.0 system. There is still time to receive bonuses for pre-ordering the expansion, which include the Wings of Valor and the ability to play Vala the Demon Hunter for free when Heroes of the Storm launches. Players around the community were saddened to discover that a number of writers for WoW Insider were laid off due to budget restructuring. While class columns and other features have been eliminated, the site will continue on with a number of its key writers remaining. Last week, community manager Zariah posted some alternate card backs that will be rewarded to players in a variety of ways. And finally, in WoW PvP news, hotfixes were applied that will increase the rate of honor gain for several battlegrounds. In addition, the focused assault debuff in Warsong Gulch and Twin Peaks will now be applied 1 minute after flags are picked up. And that's your news! Ro will interview Steed from Late Night with Steed after the overly dramatic news with Hunts the Wind.
Druidic discrimination dispute brings discord to Darkshire. It's the overly dramatic news. I'm Hunts the Wind. Controversy swirled in Duskwood this week as the Town Council of Darkshire proposed a new ordinance that would allow town business owners to use, quote, sincerely held religious beliefs, unquote, as justification to refuse service to those who offend them. The proposal is widely seen as targeting druids who have been stopping in town on their way to the Twilight Grove. At a contentious town meeting Monday evening, both sides made their cases. One shop owner spoke of how, in his opinion, those blessed by the light should not be forced to serve those he termed unclean. This drew an angry response from a Gilnean farmer who said, "I am not a druid, but I am a worgen. How long after this law is passed until we start seeing no dogs allowed signs? Aren't we better than this? The druids are not the problem here." The mayor tabled the measure and ended the meeting by reading from a letter sent by Prince Anduin Rin. The prince wrote, "The alliance is made strong by its many races, many cultures, many religions. I follow the light, but it does not offend me that others walk different paths. Before you pass this law, ask yourselves, is your desire to shun those different than you truly from the light, or does it come from darker places within you?" Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
With WoW podcasting, there are podcasts of all different kinds. You have your rating podcasts, you have your Battle Pet podcasts, but most of all, if you're looking for a specific genre of WoW podcasts, gold making definitely takes the lead over everything else aside from just your general kind of WoW podcasts. There are plenty of gold makers out there, and one of the more recent ones to come onto the scene with a WoW gold making podcast is Steed Bonnet, host of the Late Night with Steed podcast, and I'm happy to have him on the show tonight. How you doing, Steed?
Doing fantastic, man.
What motivated you to get your start with podcasting and specifically Late Night with Steve?
Well, I started off kind of taking a co-host spot on the Call to Auction podcast. Euripides, who also for the longest time did the Hunting Party podcast, was a member or a wind trader at the consortium forums, where I was also a fellow wind trader there. And those are the guys that know a lot about gold making, I guess, in layman's terms. And we kind of hung out there, and he came through and asked if anybody would be interested in co-hosting a podcast with him. And, you know, I waited a few days. I didn't think I was maybe necessarily the most qualified person among everybody there, but nobody spoke up. So then I jumped on it, and I spent, you know, probably the better part of 10 months on the Call to Auction podcast as a co-host, and I really loved it. But those guys were on the East Coast, and so they were an hour ahead of me. You know, the times just kind of worked out to where it cut into some of my evening time with my wife and things like that. And I really enjoyed doing the podcast, but it was just difficult to keep up with the schedule. And eventually we all kind of took a break from Call to Auction. And as we all know now, Euripides took a step back from the game.
Right.
And Call to Auction, you know, has stopped. Hunting Party podcast has stopped. I was very thankful to be able to listen live as they recorded their final episode here at the beginning of the year.
Would you say that a lot of what you do in your podcast is kind of modeled after the format that Call to Auction took? Or how do you do things differently? What kind of gives your show its own identity that's different from perhaps other WoW gold-making podcasts out there?
We tend to try to have guests on the show. We do talk about a lot of stuff that's going on in the news with World of Warcraft, and we kind of take a gold-making slant or bent on it when we do that. You know, comparing the two shows is something that I guess I never really thought too much of. I really like to borrow the conversational tone. And it's interesting to me to see how other people make gold. And just having guests on, you know, every now and then. I think we've had a total of maybe nine or 10 guests at this point. And just talking to them, there's just like everything else in the game, but gold making in particular is not a very linear path of gameplay. There's really a lot of different ways that it can be approached, and everybody does it very differently. And I have a co-host now, and Catherine Mann and I have always been very, I guess you'd say, fascinated of sorts with how people learn and develop as gold makers and what paths they take. And I find that I can learn something from just about everyone. And I think that the audience for gold making is just as wide. And so it's helpful maybe to hear different folks and how they do different things rather than just listen to me drone on all the time.
Do you know a rough estimate as far as how much gold you have between all of your characters or accounts? I don't know if you have multiple accounts.
I think at this time it's probably somewhere around 1 million. And that's not, in my opinion, very high.
As far as gold makers go, no, it isn't. And to a casual WoW player, to myself, I mean, I was just happy I hit 25,000 last night.
Oh, wow. Well, congratulations first.
But that's just pennies in the bucket, you know. I'd have to imagine that things have definitely changed over the course of the expansion, and we're kind of right now in a period of time where we're in that lull between expansions. Not as many people are playing. There's not as high a demand for certain types of items and commodities on the auction house market. How difficult has it been to make gold during a time when we're seeing prices for almost everything take a very strong dive? It seems the only thing that I see stays relatively stable are battle pets. Everything else is just falling.
In general, we can talk about, you know, macro trends, but if you're concerned about what's going on your server, I can make as many general statements as I want, but it definitely varies from server to server. And that's something that I've seen personally. It's something that I've, you know, kind of taken a look at the numbers behind everything to kind of see. And there's a lot of variation. But typically, when we get to this point in expansion, opportunities arise where folks who are actually the auction house kingpins, if you will, they'll take a break too sometimes, and that leaves opportunities for other people to come in. Most of the time, prices around this time are fairly stable. One exception currently, maybe with the new patch that we just had, where we have the new season of PvP gear, the honor gear is I-level 522.
Right.
The 522 crafted gear may not sell as well, so that may be a market that changes a bit. But things like gems, things like enchants, they stay relatively stable as long as there's activity going on in your server. And that's something you can get a feel for if you're checking out, you know, trade, if you're in general chat, if you know what groups are still forming to try to push content. The great thing about most of those types of markets is that they're content driven. So as long as folks are still running content, there's still going to be demand for those goods. Now, the flip side of that is you have, during this downtime and expansions, people start to get into other things. They start to get into stuff like battle pets. They start to get into transmog a lot more. They spread out in the game beyond just the normal content. And that gives other opportunities too. Some may be leveling alts, and then they need to level their professions on their alts. A lot of them do that, you know, on the weekend. And so if you're flipping those profession leveling bottlenecks and in those markets, you can do pretty well for yourself. Things like cobalt ore and bars and things like that. So I would say that this is when things are stable. The stakes are maybe not as high as we see normally whenever there's a lot of activity going on in the game. But if you kind of do some reconnaissance ahead of time rather than trying to jump in, then you can be a little bit more self-assured of your profits. There's some really good tools out there like the UndermineGeneral.com and also WoW Auction that kind of give you a overview of certain markets and how they're doing on your server and what you might be able to expect as far as, you know, profitability of buying and selling things like that.
On your podcast, what have been some of the more recent topics that you and Catherman have discussed?
Probably the biggest one that we had and most recent in our mind has been, you know, we're very much looking forward to garrisons. And there's a particular professions dev from Blizzard that's on Twitter now, who's kind of given us a preview of how some of the systems that we currently use for trade skills might change in Warlords of Draenor, particularly with regards to how certain items are mass processed, and that's prospecting gems, and that's milling herbs. Those are items that we use a lot of, and to be able to make those, you have to smash a lot of ore, you have to crush a lot of herbs, and it takes a lot of time, and it's always been something that gold makers who deal heavily in those markets have always felt that it gets a bit boring to sit there mashing a button, you know, for sometimes hours at a time. Yeah, so we've asked about that, and we've gotten some confirmation that there's going to be a different system, at least. What it is, we're not completely certain of, but that's been some of the information that we've been talking about. We've talked about some higher level concepts. In addition to the podcast, I have a blog that goes with the podcast, and there's some good posts that come out there that where we talk about things like, you know, how to streamline a lot of your auction house businesses to where you're not spending as much time as maybe your competition, because of course it gives you an edge. I mean, there's very few people who play the auction house only. A lot of them want to get to have time to be able to play with the rest of the game. So right. If you have an edge or advantage over them in terms of how much time it takes you to have a presence in those markets, then usually you can make good gold with that.
I'd like to get to a couple wackier questions. Right. I always do this with the name of the show. Everyone has a name, and I try to do something wacky with it. We didn't really get to it, though, but outside of the obvious reason, because you record at a late time, why did you name the show Late Night with Steed?
You know, I wanted the show to be more of a conversational show. You know, originally I had wanted to get a guest on for every episode, and eventually I had some trouble getting a guest on every week, as you might be able to imagine. Mm-hmm. And for you know, a niche like gold making. And so I've still managed to have a fair number of guests on, but I wanted it to be more like a bit like a late night show, where there's some discussion about the news. There's some discussion about, you know, the guest, and then we cover, you know, certain topics, which in a lot of ways is similar to the format that we had for Call to Auction, sans the guest and interview parts. So that was really kind of the motivation behind that. And of course, now that we've had a fair number of shows where we don't have a guest on, it's been, you know, really me and my co-host just talking through things like, you know, what's going on in gold making and what we thought of that week and covering different topics like that. So that's the short of it.
All right. Really quick question here. Who is your favorite late night talk show host? And it can be past or present.
Oh, gosh. of course, the present always sticks in my mind. I'm not the youngest guy, but I'm not the oldest guy mm-hmm. by any means. So I'm like 30 years old. And I would say that probably my favorite talk show host right now has got to be probably Jimmy Fallon.
Oh, okay.
I think he's a really talented guy. He can do a lot of things, and I think he's kind of funny. So
you're totally all for him taking over the Tonight Show, I imagine.
Yeah, you know, Jay was getting kind of old, and, you know, it was time to bring some fresh blood in. I mean, I like Jay Leno all right. I've enjoyed the show. I was more of a Leno guy than anything else. So it's, I guess, kind of sad to see him go, but, you know, it's, I think the show is in good hands for sure.
Yeah, Leno did have a pretty long run. Whether you liked him or not, he was definitely a cornerstone. But, all right, that's awesome. I mean, you guys do have guests roughly about half the time. And it's interesting having a show that kind of switches formats like that. It keeps things fresh. Personally, I have not listened to a whole bunch of your podcasts just because goal making has never really been my thing. I've listened to I listened to your first episode, and I listened, I want to say, to episode, it was like 15 or 16.
Oh, gosh. Those are very different. The first episode was really rough because I was dead set on having this 30-minute format, mm-hmm. and I really kind of clipped it short. I felt bad because I've never had one that short after that again, so... My apologies to anyone who wants to start on episode one. Just skip to two.
It's probably good advice for a lot of podcasts, including my own.
Yeah.
Well, Steve, again, I want to thank you for being on the show. Let's get to the real big important thing here, letting people know where, when, and how they can find you. If you want to let people know your social media info and your live stream info as well.
Absolutely. So you can find me and all of my info on www.lnws.net for Late Night with Steed. On Twitter, I'm at SteedWow. That's STEDE.
Yes, not Steed like the horse.
Right. Steed Bonnet, like the pirate. And, you know, I really like to see folks who listen to the show. I like to interact with them. I interact with them on Twitter. My battle tag is in my Twitter profile. I have a lot of folks that add me on battle tag, and I talk to them in game about all kinds of things. So, you know, I really have enjoyed kind of the community and how it's organically embraced the show and that interaction that brings. So I'm also on, of course, YouTube and Gmail, but it's probably easier to hit the website to get all of that info, and that's www.lnws.net.
Awesome. And you do live stream roughly at what time and how often, just so people know that?
Yeah, so we live stream usually Thursday nights mm-hmm. at 11:59 p.m., so that's a minute before midnight on Thursday nights. That's to keep what day it actually is straight in my own head.
Right.
And we run for about an hour and a half, sometimes 2 hours. We're trying to cut back on the time that the show takes, but that's Eastern U.S. time. So Thursday is a minute before midnight Eastern U.S. time. And there's a countdown timer now on the website that counts down to the next show.
Yep, I'm actually looking at that right now. All right, well, awesome. Thanks again, Steve, for being on the show. And we are going to go ahead and head out with a clip from one of the more recent episodes of Late Night with Steve. Thanks for being on.
Thanks, man. I want to talk about the importance of post frequency. I think that you hear a lot of goal bloggers talk about a lot of tips. We talk about a lot of add-ons. We talk a lot about, you know, things that can be used to increase your efficiency in as far as goal making. But and one of the things that we don't always openly talk about, at least, is that, you know, typically the guy who sells something is the last guy that posts at undercut. People just don't care who makes something or who sells it. They just want to buy the cheapest stuff. And how frequently you post affects how big of a window you give yourself to be that guy. And we hate the guys that sit there and camp the auction house who constantly undercut, who, you know, don't really kind of play by those set rules. I think it's worth talking about that, you know, if you're only posting one time a day or two times a day, if you could add a third or fourth time a day, depending on when it is, it can really boost your revenues for that day. So what do you think, Kath? I mean, just kind of opening up the dialogue here, have you ever felt this way about how often you post?
Oh, definitely. I think one of the things, though, that really goes hand in hand with it is being able to post more frequently, but also being able to post more frequently at the right times. You know, let's say, for example, let's say with your schedule, you're able to, you know, maybe you're up throughout the night. You know, being able to post, you know, last at the sort of the end of the evening, after everybody else has logged off, is great. Being able to post again in a few hours doesn't necessarily give you an advantage as being able to, you know, open up another window where you know, there's actually going to be some increase in demand. So, you know, like posting at 1 in the morning and then posting at 3 in the morning, the extra frequency there isn't going to have a huge impact because there aren't going to be as many sales during that time. But, you know, being able to maybe post in the middle of the day and open up a window there where there is, you know, a little bit more demand and an area that if you can sort of catch the tail end of another window and sort of be the last person posting during another time of day can definitely have a huge impact. And it's something that, yeah, I've seen firsthand. You know, there was, this was a couple years ago now that on an old server running, you know, the Glyph operation, being able to be, it was, because of the time zone on the server, being able to be on after the other guys and sort of throw up the last batch there meant that I got the majority of the overnight sales, which ended up being a significant chunk of income. So it's, yeah, definitely I think there's a direct correlation between, you know, how frequently you're able to post and when you're able to post. And I think you have to sort of find the balance between the two, because sometimes just posting all day long isn't going to be the best use of your time.
Good morning, Eric.
Good morning, Katie.
We are 30-Minute Cooldown, and we love WoW.
Join us for a conversation about WoW.
And listen to what two squishy mages have to say about the game.
On 30-Minute Cooldown, available on iTunes and Stitcher.
Or at 30minutecooldown.com.
Thanks again to Steed for being on the show this week. You can find the full interview up at realm-maintenance.com in a few days. And if you're listening to this on Tuesday or Wednesday, you still have some time to enter a contest to win a blossoming ancient pet. For complete details on the contest, go to lnws.net. Let's move on to this week's Blizzard podcast news. Nominations for this year's WoW Podcaster Tournament of Epicness, run by Sheep Moon, ended last week, and the tournament has begun. Find out who made it into the round of 64 by listening to episode 75, which airs live tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Details will also be given on a contest for who can best predict the outcome of the brackets. If you missed the live broadcast, you can download the show and participate in the tournament over at rivalcastmedia.com. If you listen to Liquor Fueled, you know of the epic, lifelong bromance between Rem and Fit. Well, that's developed into quite an adventure and the creation of a very unique contest. It is quite simple, but will be a lot of fun. Write a slash fic about the hosts, Rem, Fit, Huel, and whoever else you think needs to be in it are all fair game. But not everyone is required. Use your best judgment for a unique story. Send it in to wowhuelhauser@gmail.com or to jen.morton.01@gmail.com by March 13th, and the host will read them on the show. The best story, as judged by the liquor-fueled crew, will win a WoW time card, and the runner-up story will win the pet of their choice from the WoW store. You can download past episodes of this explicit podcast at stormridecast.libsyn.com. if you're a fan of the Azeroth Roundtable podcast, you should know that the early episodes of the show will only be available for a limited time due to storage space restrictions. As of right now, you can still download any of the offerings from Ben and John over at azerothroundtable.blogspot.com. From episode 1 with Coltrane to their BlizzCon show and beyond. A few podcasts die, many just fade away, but the Leet Sauced podcast isn't one of them. Episode 12 of Season 3 of Leet Sauced was posted last week, and on this show, the hosts talk about where the heck they've been, the recent trend in selling alpha releases, and wrapping up BlizzCon 2013. Better late than never, right? Find this explicit year-in-review podcast at leetsauced.com. Congratulations to the Area of Effect podcast, which released episode 25 of their show last week. While most milestone shows are usually something to be excited about, this episode happens to have the title of Mulligan. Sorry, we'll be better next week. Regardless, if you haven't listened to Dunlock and Sushi yet, you can find them on iTunes and AOEcast.com. On episode 41 of Azeroth Pirate Radio, Corey and Seraphis talk about WoW's boost to 90 character cost of $60, the new orc female models, and get a little distracted. Q may have had a little too much to drink, which might have had something to do with the tangent. Maybe. You can find this show on iTunes, Stitcher, and AzerothPirateRadio.com. Q and Seraphis also invite you to drop them a voicemail or email about the show, about WoW, Hearthstone, D3, StarCraft, or just tell them they are old. You can send those emails to AzerothPirateRadio@gmail.com. And right now, here's a clip from the host of the Battle Pets podcast with a little info on their recent episode.
Ludra the Mage here.
And I'm Ben the Mage.
And we are here to discuss Battle Pets episode 40, Clowns, Crowns, and other such nonsense.
Wait, we didn't have any clowns in that episode.
Yeah, we did, Ben. We're the clowns. Like, this is even a mystery.
But I haven't had a chance to go to clown college yet.
I've seen your DPS reports. Are you sure?
Ouch. That's cold, Ludra. Very, very cold.
Frost Mage!
If you'd like to know what the heck we were talking about, make sure to listen to Battle Pets episode 40, Clowns, Crowns, and Other Such Nonsense.
I already said that.
I'm not talking to you.
Whatever. How are you gonna take it when I win the Super Crown of Epic Win and Sparkles?
Aludra, we're gonna let the listeners decide on who wins.
Yay! I win!
Dang it.
On episode 215 of Bind on Equip, Wembley engages in a battle of wits with Bashiok, only to realize he was unarmed all along. Witch gives his expert wrap-up on the Winter Olympics with a promise that he won't bang on too much about Chumpy, and Tempest considers Wem's proposal to immediately install Arc Inventory as the new Guild Bank sorting method. Keep your pants on your head and listen to this show at bindonequip.com. The Meeting Stone delivers the goods with episode 18. Join the guys as they vent on their legendary cloak status, discuss the flow of information from the Artcraft blogs, and give their 2 cents on the hypothetical $60 level 90 boost. The weather's still cold, but the fire's burning hot at the Meeting Stone. Find them on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or themeetingstone.com. Haster and DG welcomed Maslu from the Lorewalkers Roundtable on to talk about Twitter accounts, Warlord system changes, and an idea for a new expansion in the show entitled Visions of Future Past, which can be found at thegroupquest.com. Why should you not buy a gold-making guide? Root and Freckleface explain why on episode 207 of Hearthcast. The hosts also talk about the moments in the World of Warcraft that we all share and love. Diz the Warlock plays a round of Hearthcast AoE, and Cold from the Eviscerated Gaming Podcast pays a visit. Episode 208 should also be available today, and you can find that on iTunes, Stitcher, or Hearthcast.com. And finally, it was announced on last week's episode of But wait, there's lore. That Season 6 would be coming to an end this Friday. The end of the season also marks the changing of the guard from Pride to Necroxus as the new showrunner for this long-running WoW lore podcast. We invite you to catch the live recording of this special episode Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time at twitch.tv/thesmokinggamer. And if you want to check out the announcement, you can watch the most recent episode at youtube.com/thesmokinggamer.
Coming up on the next Chaos Portal.
I've just been informed that we are going off the air and switching to the emergency broadcasting system.
If Sarah goes on vacation, we have a stand-in. And this episode's special guest...
Kim?
Scallion. So join us in the chat room as we record live on chaosportalshow.com, Friday, March 7th, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time.
And that sound means your update is complete. It's time to press that play button and try to figure out why is it that when Ro gets sick, all of his clones do too? Thanks to Deathstrider for leaving a 5-star review on iTunes. But what about you? What do you think of the show? Leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher Radio, and whether it's 4-star, 5-star, or otherwise, we'll give you a shout-out. Realm-maintenance.com is the home of the weekly podcast roundup. And if you subscribe to the RSS feed there, you'll get a list of all the WoW and other Blizzard game podcasts that have come out in the past week every Sunday. If you're a podcaster and have news about your show, or a promo to send in, or if you're a listener with questions about WoW or WoW podcasts, send those emails to realmpodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow the show on Twitter at Realm Podcast. You can follow Ro at Ro Wow, that's R-H-O-W-O-W, or follow myself at Remedeezy. Next week, it's all about druids when we interview the Team Waffle podcast. Why is it called Team Waffle anyway? Hopefully we'll find out. For Ro and myself, have a great week. And Realm Maintenance has been completed. This podcast has been a presentation of Realm Maintenance Productions, copyright 2014. Certain audio portions of this podcast belong entirely to Blizzard Entertainment, and no copyright infringement is intended. Thanks again to Steed Bonnet for being on the show this week. Thanks to everyone in the WoW podcast community for the retweets and for getting the word out about the show. And thanks to you for listening.
Oh yes, Illidan, you can definitely say I'm not prepared, because I'm not entirely over this bug, but we have more news to get to you guys. So, welcome to the semi-occasional hotfixes segment, and let's get right to it. In Diablo 3 news, it was announced yesterday that Diablo 3 players will get a 50% experience bonus for their characters when they are leveling between now and March 24th. So if you already have a copy of Diablo 3 and you want to get some characters ready for Reaper of Souls, you better start playing now, because 50% bonus XP is quite something. In Heroes of the Storm news, it was announced yesterday that the game is going to enter a technical alpha. There will be a very limited number of invites sent out to people. They actually won't be sending out keys, they will be flagging accounts of people that have opted in to the Heroes of the Storm beta or alpha, as it were. Once again, the only way you can get into this is by actually opting in through your account page. Be very careful with any emails that are sent out that claim to have a way to get you into the technical alpha. And in WoW news, we do have a couple of items that were announced yesterday. First off, all of the racial abilities that are being planned for Warlords of Draenor have been posted as a forum post in the general discussion forum. You may want to check that out. We found out a little bit more information than what was tweeted immediately following the dev water cooler. And finally, for WoW news, it was also announced that the Mists of Pandaria Deluxe Digital Edition is going to be retired no sooner than March 10th. If you have Mists of Pandaria and you want to upgrade to the Digital Deluxe Edition to take advantage of the special mount, pet, and bonuses for other Blizzard games, you'll want to do that right away, because after March 10th, it may be retired for an indefinite period of time. But that's not all we have, folks. We have podcast news to go over. First off, episode 60 of 30 Minute Cooldown is the audio companion to that blog post about the new features of Warlords of Draenor. You can read the post before or after the audio commentary by Katie and Eric about ability pruning, item squishing, talent redoing, and so much more, and you can find that on iTunes, Stitcher, Facebook, and 30MinuteCooldown.com. The Darkmoon Herald has a new episode that was just released. Episode 63 can be found on DarkmoonHerald.com and features Dunlock as a guest, and you may know Dunlock from the Area of Effect podcast. In addition, you can find Apsana, Skolnick, Kevin, along with Joshua and Sayamara from Grand Ole Podcast on Warcraft Well Read, which is back from a several-month hiatus. Episode 7 of Warcraft Well Read deals with Vol'jin, Shadows of the Horde, and you can find that roundtable at warcraftwellread.com. You can follow them on Twitter at WowWellRead. If you're looking for a 30-day game code for WoW, you might want to check episode 172 of The Sundering, which you can check out at thesundering.net. If you are a listener to Stopcast and you're wondering why the heck there was no show last night, that's because they postponed the show till tonight at 10 p.m. Central Time, so you can catch Stopcast over at stopcast.net and click on the live link there. And finally, for additional podcast news, it is with a bit of regret and sadness that I am going to inform you guys that TwizzCast is no more. This is not an April Fool's joke. This is actually real. Twizz posted a 8-minute long audio thing over at TwizzCast.com, which explains the reasons for the discontinuation of TwizzCast. And I will leave it to his words to explain why everything went down there. So again, if you are interested in why TwizzCast has come to a conclusion, go to TwizzCast.com to learn more. And that's all the hotfix news I have for you guys. Hopefully nothing else has popped up in the last few hours in between the time I record this and the time it goes live. I hope to feel a little bit better when I record next week's show. So until next time, I've been Ro, you've been you, and man, this has been a really weird Monday. Take care.